today. We are really in for a special day today. As in a few minutes, I'm going to invite Jackie Green to come, and she's going to open God's Word and really unpack some Scripture for us. And she's a great representative of this song that we are singing, or that we just sang right now, this idea of I Dare You to Move. And so I'm really excited that she's going to come and share that. So this song is a song by a group called Switchfoot. And I don't know if you know anything about Switchfoot, but Switchfoot is one of those crossover bands. It's actually a rock band that's made up of professing Christians. And they just have a really cool witness across all genres, but across the secular music world and into the Christian music world. And so the song you just heard, which played in the early 2000s, was a song that was very popular. It actually made it as high as number 6 on the pop charts and as high as number 17 on the top 100. It's a song that played on Christian stations. It's a song that played on secular stations. And it's such a cool song. You see, Switchfoot, their idea, their whole thought is if we could be a light in a dark place, that would be a really cool thing. As a matter of fact, the name even kind of comes from that, because not only are they professing Christians, they also had another thing they really love to do, and that is to surf. So it's a bunch of surfers. And the word Switchfoot, or that term Switchfoot, actually refers to the idea of instead of riding with your dominant foot forward, you ride with your non-dominant foot forward. That's called Switchfoot, which would in turn then cause you to turn 180 degrees in the way that you stand. And their thinking is that we want to be the kind of band that represents that repentance and redemption that comes when you walk with Jesus. And so it's a really, really powerful story. And they actually use a really, really powerful line. As a matter of fact, I look at this whole concept for this song, and I just realize what a powerful idea it is. Because I don't know where you're at, but I know as a guy, if anybody dares me to do something, I'm going to do it. Right? I mean, that's just kind of the deal. Like, if you dare me, I'm probably going to take you up on that dare. I just had the privilege of going to my father-in-law's retirement party this past weekend, and so I just got back in last night really late after driving back from that, and so we had to go all the way over to Michigan, but we don't tell anybody, okay? So we were in Michigan, but we don't like to talk about that state too much. Anyway, I forgot, we're in Pennsylvania. You guys are like, oh, that's not even funny over here. I'm from Ohio. We don't talk about Michigan there. So anyways, so we were over there, we were in Michigan, and my wife has two sisters, and so all the sisters are very close relationally and also very close in age, and the sisters are married to these two guys, and all of the brother-in-laws are very close in age and relationally, and we also just really like, you know, we just like to hang out together, and there's always some kind of competition going on at all times. This particular time, the primary competition was in beard length. And so we were all seeing how well we could grow a beard. I totally have them beat on that. Don't tell them. And so here we were hanging out, and my one brother-in-law, his family owns a lake house on Lake Huron. And it's a beautiful place. We get to go and hang out with them there. And so we were spending some time there on the lake. And if you've ever been to Lake Huron, you know it's not a real deep lake, and it's a very clear lake. And actually the water almost reminds you of the Caribbean, because when you look at it, when the sun is up, it's really cool blue colors. It's just a beautiful place to be. And it's a lake that's great for all kinds of water sports. Great to do a lot of different things on it. So we spent some time on Friday on the lake with them. And while we were over there, we were just kind of hanging out on the beach, and it was a beautiful day, and the sun was shining, and the kids were out. And my brother-in-law had a paddleboard. Do you know what a paddleboard is? It's like a big surfboard, but you stand up on it. You've seen this before, and you row around on it. Okay, so he had one of those paddleboards, and he was, you know, out. He would say he was just kind of paddleboarding. I would say he was showing off, but that's, you know, between you and me. And so he's out there, and he's just kind of tooling around, and he's really good at it. He can go wherever he wants, and he doesn't fall in. As a matter of fact, sometimes he'll run up there after work. He's a school principal, so he'll run up there in his work clothes and jump on the paddleboard, which in a suit, and then paddleboard over to where the restaurants are and go up and get like dinner. And I don't know, again, it's just showing off. That's all there is to it, right? And so, you know, he just goes and does that. And so as he was there, then he started saying things like, you should try it. I bet you can't do that. Why don't you jump on there? You should really try. I might be able to teach someone like you to paddle, like that kind of stuff, right? Which what I heard him saying was, I dare you. That's what I heard. Now, he may say he didn't say that, but that's what I heard. And so here I was on Friday out there with this paddleboard, and I spent a little bit of time just kind of, you know, getting accustomed to a paddleboard. And some of you are laughing already, but I'm not sure why. Because, I mean, why can't you see me paddleboarding, right? And so here I am. I remember, like, I got up on there, and I'm standing up on the paddleboard. I actually was standing up on the paddleboard. And he was saying really encouraging things like, why is it taking on water? Come on, right? And so after a little bit of time and a few fails into the water where I literally had to swim for about an hour to go get the paddleboard, but I shot it out from behind me like 3 miles out to sea. I finally was able to get up on the board and row wherever I wanted to go. So I did a little paddleboarding. But the truth is, I really had no desire to paddleboard when I got there. But that whole idea of like, I dare you. I bet you can't. I dare you. You see, it's a really powerful song, and somehow Switchfoot taps into that when they get to this song. Let me just walk you through the thoughts of this song before Jackie comes. See, the beginning of the song really has this theme that's flowing through it. We all have a past with which we have to come to terms. It starts out by saying, welcome to the planet, welcome to existence. In other words, we all have this thing. There's a commonality among us. We all have this thing that we have to deal with in our past. It's a thing called sin. In Romans chapter 7, which Jackie's going to really unpack for us today, it's that passage of scripture where Paul talks about the things he wants to do, he doesn't do, and the things he doesn't want to do, he does, and it just kind of goes on with a whole bunch of do's inside of there. And in there, he says this, the trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. In other words, I'm human, you're human, we all have this condition. And so if we have a condition, what are we going to do with that condition? As the song progresses, the next theme that stands out is that there's some kind of spiritual tension which we live in. It says between who you are and who you could be, between how it is and how it should be. He's talking about if we have this condition and we could get ourselves right somehow with the Creator, then there's this tension of, and maybe it's just that spiritual tension. Maybe you've never taken the opportunity to know what it looks like to experience God's love and grace and to step into a relationship with Him. And so you feel this tension. But maybe for you, it's a different kind of tension. It's the kind of tension where you wake up in the morning and you know that God has created you for more and it's time to take another step, and yet you can't quite bring yourself to take that step, or you need something that's going to push you into that next step. Maybe for you, it's a next step in your spiritual journey. Maybe it's you know that you need to journey a little deeper in your faith and you should be joining a small group to do that with other people. Or maybe it's you need to step into a discipleship relationship with someone and walk with them or find a way for someone to walk with you so you can take another step. Maybe it's an obedience thing and you know that God has been calling you to something more. Maybe He's calling you to a mission trip or to join the missions force or to serve in your community or to volunteer in one of our ministries. I don't know what it is, but it's that idea that there's a calling and a yearning to more. This is a really cool week here at SLW in the sense that last week the teens just got back from youth camp, and so that was very cool for those kids. And this week, today actually, we're sending a group to Haiti on a missions trip. And so here they are, all these people that have taken a step. Somehow they listened and were willing to move. And then this is the beautiful part. When you recognize where you are and you begin to see the gap, that tension that is there, and you see that gap, and you start to wonder, how am I ever going to make it through this? How am I ever going to close that gap and take another step? I'm not sure. There's too much fear. There's too much emotion. There's too much whatever. This is the beautiful part. It's this wonderful picture that God's grace will meet you right where you are. I love the verse that says, maybe redemption has stories to tell. Maybe forgiveness is right where you fell. Where can you run to escape from yourself? Salvation is here. I really love then how they motivate in the song, the next step. They motivate us to take a step. They say things like, I dare you to move. And if you don't remember how big a deal it is to be dared for something, then maybe we should go to the place that will remind us all. See, there's a wonderful, theologically deep movie that plays every year at Christmas time called A Christmas Story, which really helps us understand that. So let me remind you how important it is, how important a dare is.
You're full of beans and so's your old man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah!
Says who?
Says me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah!
I double dare you.
The exact exchange and nuance of phrase in this ritual is very important.
Are you kidding? Stick my tongue to that stupid pole, that's dumb.
That's cause you know it'll stick.
You're full of it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah!
Like double dog dare ya!
Now it was serious. A double dog dare. What else was left but a triple dare you? And finally, the coup de grace of all dares, the sinister triple dog dare.
I triple dog dare ya!
Schwartz created a slight breach of etiquette by skipping the triple dare and going right for the throat.
All right, all right.
We left it as a cliffhanger. You have to watch the movie to see what happens next. But don't forget, here's the picture. I triple dog dare ya. Oh. And so today, I'm going to ask Jackie if she'll come and help us as we look at this picture that God is saying, I dare you to move. See what I can do in and through you. And so you make Jackie Green, a church planner from Indiana, Pennsylvania, who is starting a campus there, which we've been just privileged to be able to join with and partner with. And I've asked her to come and share God's word as it relates to her story and this idea that God dares us to move. Jackie, will you come?
Thanks so much, Pastor Jesse, for the opportunity. I appreciate getting to come and be a part of this summer song series. It's so powerful music in our lives. I love that clip because as Jesse's given us this whole visualization of what he's doing on this paddleboard. Now, kayaking was my new thing. I don't really think I'm going to try paddleboard. But when you see the little kid with the glasses and those blue eyes and he's like watching, like, is this guy really going to do this? I just keep seeing Amy going, oh my gosh, is Jesse really going to do this, you know? And his whole family's probably thinking, what is he doing, right? But that's fun. That's part of the dare, the excitement. So dare you to move. The song really dares us to move in a different way, doesn't it? It's a humbling experience that we realize that we all fall upon hard times in our life. And it's not if we fall upon hard times, but it's when. It's going to happen. We need to be prepared. We need to expect it, not fear it, not think, oh, every day, what's going to happen, and we know bad things are going to happen. No, but the fact is, things happen. Life happens, and we need to be prepared and ready to deal with it. And the song and God is telling us to get back up on your feet. Let's go for it, right? We have to move intentionally. It's not about just moving to move, just because someone says, oh, okay, yeah, this is the right direction to go in, and well, I'll just go in that direction. But there has to be intentionality to it. We can become very paralyzed in our life circumstances and overwhelmed with all of this, you should do this and you should do that, and what is our next step? You know, what is that that paralyzes you? Sometimes it's not just the moving, but it's moving in the right direction. And we know that movement should take us towards God. You know, every decision and every thought that we make and that we have, it literally either moves us closer towards God or further away. Just think about that. It really does. Like, are we following what God has for us, or are we deciding to go in a different direction? So what does stop us from moving in the right direction? What paralyzes us? Could it be our lack of faith, our lack of trust, our own understanding? We can get very confused in all of these things sometimes. The song talks about there's a difference between who we are and who we should be. Who are we? We're sinners. That's the first thing we are. We're born into sin in this life. But who should we be? When we acknowledge God as our creator, who we should be is a child of his. And how do we become a child of God's? By acknowledging him, recognizing him as our savior, and then we are his child. So how do we bridge this gap? Foreman, the songwriter, talks about difficult times and how those prompt him to write. So in his personal life experience, the writing of these songs helps him work through his sin and his difficult times. The song does talk about sin and that we have to face the fact that we all sin and we're going to have to deal with this. It points out that we need to realize that the errors of our ways and that there can be a new life. Foreman says that the song is an attempt to honestly face that gap between who I am and who I want to be, between the way the world spins and the way it should be. That's the gap. The gap between who I am and who I want to be, and the way the world spins and the way it should be. It does feel like the world is spinning, like faster and faster and faster, doesn't it? Feels like it's spinning out of control sometimes. And we can get caught up in those worldly ways as opposed to God's ways and to see what he has for us. We're not to be of this world. And that's a hard concept to get sometimes, not being of this world that is spinning out of control, trying to figure out who we are and what we're doing in this part of the world at this moment in time where God has put us. We do see in Romans 7, 14 through 24 that Paul, the writer of this passage, he's struggling with this same idea. He says, things I want to do, I don't do. Who I want to be, I don't end up being that. There is this person he's knowing that he wants to be, but he just can't seem to get there. So let's look at the passage together. It says, so the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war within my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am, who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death. Wow, what a mouthful, isn't it? It just, I do this, but I don't want to. You can see the struggle when you read through that, you know. He's just back and forth, what is happening to me? I mean, do you get that? Do you see yourself in that? Do you have those struggles of, I wake up in the morning and this is the person I want to be and I start in this direction and sometimes it only takes walking across the house to totally blow it and went in the wrong direction. Bad attitude, not a kind word spoken, bad thought, who knows what. You know, I mean, this battle, we're in this. When the song says, welcome to the fallout, welcome to the resistance, this is it. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that we are going to have struggles. Scripture tells us that. But that's okay, because as we turn to God, he is here with us. As we have fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we have people to journey with. But when we talk about that resistance, Satan, it's a battle. He's battling for our souls, our minds, our thoughts. So we're going to have this tension. It says the tension is here. Tension isn't always a bad thing, though. What I have found is in that tension, it can make us move. because we have to make some decisions. It's a pressure that's happening that's kind of being applied. And sometimes we need to just pray, what is happening here, God? What is, you know, this tension? And yes, we can go, you know, with the negative that the tension is, you know, of Satan. He's trying to cause all these things. But we can also go on the mindset that the tension can be also of God. And it's just like a tug of war. You know, we have this good and evil, and we're trying to, but we're failing. But that's okay. We want to lean into it and say, God, what can we do with this? How can this help us? How can we do better? We don't want to become complacent. We don't want to be paralyzed. We want to move. So how are we going to move, God? How is this going to look? What is this going to do? I believe that it's this kind of tension that has gotten me to where I'm at. So a little bit about my story, and my story is just full of all of these what ifs. What if? You know, back when I was younger and in my home, lived in a pretty dysfunctional home, a lot of fighting and upset all the time. And, you know, while my parents professed to know the Lord, that didn't really get walked out in our household very well. And I was, you know, I always say like I got taken to church when they weren't fighting, which was like hardly never. I was one of those kids that in the summertime, I stayed at my grandma's and aunt's, and the van picked us up and took us to a random church. Well, it was at that random church that God moved on my heart, and I went forward probably about age 12 and received the Lord. And that was an amazing experience. But I had no one that followed up. That really wasn't my church, so I didn't get to go back there. There was no discipleship, and I entered my teenage years and lived a very sinful life. Very far from God, you know, and I've struggled with that over the years. Like, how could you do that? How could that be your point where you received the Lord as your Savior, but yet through your teens and your 20s, you lived a sinful life, like very sinful. But what I realized is God's grace was covering me. I had made a step towards Him, and He was calling me the whole time. He was there. He was in that. I was not making the right decisions, partly because I didn't understand, but partly because I wasn't allowing this to happen in my life. So fast forward through a couple decades, eventually you might figure out my age, but I'm well beyond my teenage years, obviously, and God was just so prevalent. You know, I just wanted to know Him more. I did want to be a Christian. That's what I wanted to be. That's who I wanted to be. I wanted to be that person that knew Scripture, that read the Bible, that could help other people. That was what I wanted to be, but I didn't know what that meant. And once we had our daughters, we knew we wanted to live a different life, and we wanted to have our children in church, and we wanted to be different people. So we started making moves in our life, and we started going to church, and we got involved. And I, you know, became Sunday school teacher, and then the director of women's ministry in the next church God led us to. And I would think, what's happening here? Like, I'm leading these Bible studies, and these people sitting here know more than I do. Like, how can this be? But God was using every step of the way. Eventually, I just kept, you know, I want more. I want more of God. That's all I knew. And I can remember this very clear point in time sitting on our back patio with my husband on our swing and literally crying and saying, there's something inside of me, and I don't know what this is, but it has to come out. Well, years later, as I have continued to move in the direction of God, I realized that was my calling. I didn't get that. I didn't know that. But I just kept being on this crazy journey of, okay, I'll go deeper with you. What's next, God? Okay, what's happening? I started taking these ministry classes, and I didn't even realize, you know, a little slow, that I was going to do this to be a pastor. I just thought I was doing this for, you know, to better myself, to help, you know, the ladies I was teaching in Bible study, whatnot, and somewhere in that, God said, no, you're doing this to be a pastor. And I was like, I don't get that. It actually took me a couple years to even just get that down deep in that God was really going to actually use me. You know, all along He was whispering things to my heart like, be real. Be real with people. We really need to do that. Learn to apply my word and to help others in that. And then He would say, who's going to tell those about me that won't go through a church door? That's the calling that He has asked me to do. Years ago, He gave me the Gap Ministry as a name. I didn't even know what that was. God answers prayer. A few years later, He gave me the scripture that went with it, Ezekiel 22:30, about standing in that gap. God is looking for those that will have the courage to stand on behalf of others, that will help them bridge to this point of where we need to be. So there's a lot of what ifs in my life. What if I wouldn't have done the classes? What if I wouldn't have moved when he said move? I hate to even think of where we would be in our life if we wouldn't have moved in the direction that God would have us move. Again, what miserable people we are. We want to do what's right. We all really do want to do what's right. It's just difficult by times. So how do we deal with this gap between who we are and who we want to be? The song, Dare You to Move, really has got me thinking. Again, the writer Foreman, in an interview, he said, I've heard that we only use a small part of our brain. And, you know, scientifically, they have shown that we have these brains, and that I think we have a slide for that. There we go. We have these brains, and only 10%. So what's the rest of our brain doing? Why are we not using it? That's kind of amazing thing. There's this movie called Lucy, and in the movie, this woman, somehow this drug cartel, you know, is trying to move drugs, and they sew this drug inside this woman, and she's going to be the transporter of these drugs, and she's going to do this, and she realizes this, and I won't bore you with all the details, but while this drug is in her, somehow it starts to seep out, and there's something about this drug that starts to make her mind being able to be used more than that 10%. And she has knowledge and wisdom and just thoughts and power from this, from her brain beyond anything that she could have imagined. Eventually she goes and gets a doctor to, you know, cut this out of her, but then the rest of the movie is just about how this power, the capacity of her brain is amazing. Foreman goes on to say, maybe our soul is the same way, and maybe we're half asleep most of our lives, simply reacting to the stimulus our brain receives. Action, true action, is rare indeed, he says. So how much of your soul do you use on a daily basis? So I think we need to look a little bit more into our soul, that we are a three-part being, just like God. We have a mind, soul, and body. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. So soul and spirit are not the same thing. I don't know if you realize that, but it took me a while to really get this. I would kind of hear this, and I'd be like, okay, yeah, but it's important that we recognize how God has made us, because it's very powerful. Dr. Clarence Larkin, in his book, Rightly Dividing the Word, he explains this a little bit more. He talks about the outer circle stands for the body of man. The inner circle, the next circle in, is our soul, which is mind, will, and emotions. And then there's our spirit, the inner core of being, sensitive to God. It's important we realize and have a distinct understanding of what that is when we're trying to connect with God and connect with who he has made us to be. And that helps me to understand a little bit more of my own journey, when I said, literally, I would say, I have something in me, and I would actually just keep pointing to my very core. Well, there was something in my soul. There was that thing, my spirit, that was connecting with God's spirit, and, you know, just this stuff is starting to happen, and it's so exciting. In the beginning, the spirit of man was lit from heaven, filled with God's presence, but when sin entered the world, the window of the spirit closed. Then we wonder why, right? That chamber of our lives became a chamber of death. That void in us became the center of man's attention. And to fill that chamber, fill it with something that will satisfy. Like what? What satisfies us? We go through the world trying this and trying that. I know that's the things that I was doing in my younger years. Of you just don't even understand, and you think, oh, maybe this will make me happy. This will satisfy me. All worldly things, always looking to the world, because that's what we know. We have to make that intentional move to focus on what God would have us to fill that with. You know, we talk about, we all have this God-shaped, you know, place in our being that only he can fill. It's really true. Romans 7:25 says, thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Anything that chamber in that chamber besides Jesus, and his spirit will not satisfy. The Holy Spirit floods that chamber with light and life-giving power and a new life. That's it. That's where we get to start being who we want to be. See, we have this already woven in us, who God created us to be. So that's why we have that desire. Like, we know there's this better person that we want to be, that we could be. So it's when we let his light and life-giving power fill us that we can really, really get it in that direction. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 12. That is what the scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Many people stop here, content that we will never know God, know things of God in our own power and in our own human spirit. You are correct. But in 10 it says, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. But when we fill that chamber with the Holy Spirit, we receive his Spirit and things of God become clear. Scripture becomes clear and we can understand and apply it to our lives. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit. So we can know the wonderful things of God he has freely given us. That is great news to me. That means we can do this. Because God is going to fill it. God is doing the work. We just have to allow him. We just have to let it happen. We receive God's Spirit. We can know God's thoughts. And it's all for free. It's all for free. We don't have to pay for it. We don't have to do anything other than move in God's direction. Maybe this is why we don't understand the Bible. Maybe this is why we struggle with, I hear these songs and it's not really going deep in me. I don't really get the meaning of them. I don't really get when someone is sharing with me how this happens. It is God's Spirit in us that gives us that knowledge and reveals those things to us. So once we truly receive the Holy Spirit and we read Scripture, then it starts to make more sense because God's Spirit is working in our spirit and allowing us to have that understanding and knowledge. Not only having a living soul, but you are a living soul. We must not confuse what is spiritual in our lives with what is soulish. The Holy Spirit works in the spirit and regeneration in our hearts. Again, it's just this knowledge that God is going to do it, that he's going to work. But we also have to be aware of Satan, because Satan operates making his appeal to the affections and emotions of man in the soul. That's why we have this struggle, this tension all the time, because Satan is taking those things and he's putting thoughts, and we get all caught up in our emotions and we say, well, we don't feel like that, or we don't feel like this. Well, there's lots of things I didn't feel like doing, but I knew it was the right thing to do, right? So again, when you make that step towards God, he is right there. Satan doesn't care if you go to church where there really isn't any spiritual stuff happening. You can go to church, be in church all of your lives, but until you actually let the Spirit of God in you, there's nothing evident that will change. You know, Satan actually would be happier if you sat in a dead church that has no spiritual connection, that the worship is just blah, the messages are just blah, or even go about and do all the busyness of church stuff. Like, well, it's a church thing. You know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm going to this activity, I'm busy. That's all good, right? But are you connecting with the Spirit? Are you really letting the Spirit make a difference in you? That's where the power comes. That's when it changes. The soul is the seat of the affections, right or wrong, of love, hate, lust, and even appetites of the body. It is in the soul where fleshly lusts, desires, and appetites are. So our spirit and our soul, warring. In 1 Peter 2:11, dear friends, I warn you as a temporary residence and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. The soul of man, that is, his affections, and desires are never directed Godward until the Spirit has regenerated. Man can never love God or things of God until we make that connection with God's Spirit in our spirit. We do not feel that we are guilty of judging men when we state that some who have answered an altar call and shed tears were never born again. We have to be very careful that we are truly making that connection, that we're just not walking through the motions, but there's intent and there's true heart to heart with God. When the Spirit of God illuminates the spirit of a man with divine light and life, that man begins to yield his affections and turn toward God. In Psalm 23, we see David struggling, and David says, God restores my soul, because David had some issues, didn't he? And while David didn't lose his salvation, he had some serious struggles where he was not turning towards God, and he needed to turn back towards God, and he says, God restored my soul. So we know it can happen. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 through 24, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Again, he will do it. So don't sit here and think, oh my goodness, what do I have to do? What does she mean? What's going on? They're talking about this song. They want me to move. Where am I moving to? You're just saying, yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. It's about our whole being doing this. We could hold back a percentage of ourselves, right? We could stay in our little safety zone and say, okay, God, you can have this percent of me, but I'm going to hold this amount back. He's asking for 100%. He wants you all in. He wants us all in. We want to get on fire for God. We don't want to have that feeling of, well, I'll go this far with the Lord, but I don't want to be too fanatical, right? I don't want to be a Jesus freak. Everything I do, you know, people just, you know, it's not about preaching at people all of the time. It's just about living that life that God can see, or that people can see God in you. As we have moved through the different things that we have done with stepping out of our comfort zone and helping to plant the bridge in Penn Hills, and then knowing that God was calling us to do something more, and as we went back to our local church, we knew that we were not going to be able to sit in those pews again. It just, that's not where God was going to have us. And so what does this look like? And, you know, as people are starting to, you know, be drawn to the things God has us doing in Indiana, we started a Bible study, and, you know, many came. We did that for quite a few months and prayed, okay, Lord, what's else do you want us to do? We just knew there was something. And the Celebrate Recovery Ministry is what he had us start. And, you know, you can really get caught up in your own flesh, too, when you see people coming towards what you're doing. And, you know, they're, oh, this is great, and thank you for doing this. But we have to keep the realization that they're being drawn to Christ in us. You know, we are saying, yes, Lord, we will do this ministry. We'll serve in this way because there's a need there. There are people that are hurting and need help and to need to know the real message of Jesus Christ. And that's all we want to do, is move towards God. I have learned very much that every time I have taken a step, just the least little step towards God, he's there. And that's what he does in our journey. He just shows us enough of the next step that we have to have enough faith and courage to do it, but he doesn't show us the whole picture. And I don't know how it works for you, but like I'm a crazy type A personality and like to control everything. So God so is not going to show me the whole picture, because for sure I will goof it up, or I'll get afraid and I'll run the other direction and move in the wrong way. But I can just encourage you and in your hearts that whatever God has brought to your mind this morning as we focused on this and listened to the song, you just have to take that next step and he'll meet you there and he'll take you to the next step. It really is an exciting journey. So now what? Now what? Salvation is here, and we move toward God with a sincere heart. Every time, I guarantee you, every time, he will move towards you. So I do dare you to move from where you are to where God wants you to be. Matthew 22:37, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind." He created us. He wants us to give it all back to him, to glorify him, and then he can use it in the most glorious way. So I dare you. It's your move. Precious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to have a time to come together to hear your word, Lord. I pray that each person sitting here, that this touched them in a way that they will truly know that you have their backs, that you have the next step for them. And I pray for them to have the courage to move in that direction, Lord. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the SLW Community Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this ministry of Sandy Lake Wesleyan Church. For more information about what you've just heard, or to learn more about us, check us out online at www.slwchurch.org.